Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House. We are a weekly four-hour radio broadcast, 7 o'clock hour. It's interesting people, places, and things of Arizona. The 8 o'clock hour is our outdoor living hour. 9 o'clock is the open line hour. And 10 o'clock, we dive deep to one specific topic of the week. And this week, it's everything you need to do if you're planning on leaving your home for the summer. There's a great article we put together. If you receive our weekly newsletter, you have a copy of that article already. Or if not, you can go to our blog and find it there as our most recent post. But before we get to it, you know, this is a big topic for the news, and you've probably seen it, but we've got this big APS rate case. You know, there's no telling which way the vote will go, so better safe than sorry. If you're thinking of going solar, reserve your bid now before July 1st. And a bid takes a couple weeks to put together from a quality solar company, so act now. You can find great solar contractors at rosieonthehouse.com. I'm Romy. Jennifer's in studio at our KTAR flagship station. I'm sitting in the Prescott Fairgrounds, broadcasting via Comrex Access for the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo's last Junior Rodeo event of this season. And we've gotten through, looks like goat tying's about to wrap up. We're still getting through barrel racing, and next will be a goat tail pull, and probably they'll go on to some roping before they finish up with pole bending at the end of the day. So great family event where there's kids here from ages peewee starts at 3.5 all the way up to 18, and grandparents and parents, and there's 3 and 4 generation families here. Just a great time, and I love being in Prescott. It's just a perfect setting for the season end rodeo.
And but I'm sure you'll send Grandma Jenny, you're gonna send Grandma Jenny some pictures, right, when you get off air. Get me caught up.
You know, I haven't gotten any pictures. I've gotten one video of Remy's barrel race run, which I did not lead him. I was next to him, but I did not lead him. He rode it all by himself.
No way.
You should see him run home. It's quite impressive.
I'm waiting.
All right. So let's talk through our top 20. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. Text 411-923 or email info at rosieonthehouse.com. Number one, make sure your exterior doors have deadbolts. I know some of these are a no-brainer, but if break-ins didn't happen, these wouldn't need to be said. The important thing to know on your deadbolts on the front, your screws are just as important. If you only have trim screws on the jam side, holding the strike plate in, that's not going to do anything, because they're going to be, anybody can kick through that door and blow the wood out through the back. When we build a door, you've got the deadbolt, you've got the handle, you've got the throw latch, and you've got all these screws right together, making it a very, very weak central point. So if you don't have screws that go all the way into the frame of the home, they're just going to be able to kick out the door trim. So just as important as your a good quality deadbolt that's solid metal. There are identical brands or identical lines of the same brand that you can find at big box stores that are cheaper because they've got plastic components. Make sure you get a Schedule 3 solid metal deadbolt. Make sure you put in extra long screws into the frame, and you've got a much more secure front door. I can't remember the exact statistic, but over 50% at least of the break-ins happen straight through the front door. They just smash it in. So make sure we've got a good deadbolt there and then the back door. Invest in a security system. Do you have a security system, Mom?
I'm not going to say.
The barking dogs?
Yeah, the dogs. Yeah, we've been trying some different ones. You know, some of these do-it-yourself kind of smart house ones. There's all kinds of different things you can have, like a camera at your front door, which is very helpful. Not exactly a system, you know, but there's different things you can do to stay safe. I think security system is always a good idea.
But if there's ever a ring on the front door and you're not home, you would then able be able to see it on the camera.
Because
a lot of the people, if they're not 100% confident that you've left, they may ring on the front door. And if someone answers it, hey, I'm looking for my, you know, aunt's house that's down this road. Do you know where? And, you know, some fake address. And then that's, you know, their get out of the situation. Well, if no one answers the door, they're confident no one's there, then they can do the kick in. So that's where a camera and modern technology. I know you can activate the barking dog.
A lot less poop to scoop.
That, a lot less poop to scoop, and it can be right there so that if you look at that camera remotely and you decide it's someone you don't want, even if it's someone you know and you just don't want them there, you can activate a barking dog to help scare them off.
So, I like that one.
Just one. You like that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to add that to our resources. What do you think about smart locks?
I think
number three on our list.
Oh, I think they are a wonderful tool. You know, if you're gone, you can put a lock on your front door that's accessed by code. So let's say you're going to let somebody in to check your home and they have a code. Maybe you're due for a service and you trust your people because they're ROSI certified, and you can give them a separate code. So it tells you they have a code to get in. It tells you when they came in and when they went out. Or maybe there's an emergency and you want to create a code right then for someone who needs to come in on the spot. So those are very, very handy to have.
They are very neat. It's one of those things that, you know, I get always reluctant when there's one more thing that you're relying on technology for in sake of convenience, but those are very cool.
Yeah, I think there's a place for technology. You know, we visited the smart house, Becky and I did, and there were so many things that did not appeal to me, but to have something that's really very useful and improves your safety or your quality of life, I'm all over it, and that's one of them.
Next, the next couple ones all have to do with a good neighbor. Make sure if you are the old school turnkey, which I think 98% of homeowners still are, make sure you have a good trusted neighbor that has a key so they can access the home if need be, if they notice leaks or they need to get in the backyard or they need to check inside the home just to make sure everything is well, flush the toilets. That's one thing a lot of people don't consider, and we'll get to later, is making sure all of your pee traps have water in them so sewer gas doesn't start filling up in your home and creating a horrible odor when you get home.
It's
you
important
want
to
make to get... it look live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a neighbor that's gone a lot, and sometimes the trash cans will get left out, so I'll just pull them back in, or if they'll text me and say we're going to be gone, can you put it out? And that just makes the home look very lived in. The other day I walked by the house on my walks, and there was the back gate was busted open. So I was able to text them and say, hey, you need to send somebody out. So it's really great to have somebody else, you know, be a good neighbor. And then you'll have somebody be a big good neighbor for you as well.
Switch up your lights, you know, when they're... If they've got that key, they can turn this light on, turn this one off, adjust this shutter, move that one. Make it feel like someone's living there, like you said, moving the trash cans. And if you didn't stop your mail service, if you still get newspaper delivered, you know, they can be picking that up for you daily. Or, you know, if you still get the old-fashioned newspaper delivered, it's just best, though, to turn that off, because there's nothing to say that your neighbor might not forget a day or two or be gone a day or two for, you know, even if they are not planning on leaving somewhere, doesn't mean they don't have an emergency family situation they have to leave for as well.
There was a good tip in the article. I thought instead of starting those services of stopping your mail and stopping your newspaper the day you've left, start it 2 days before so you can make sure that the message got through and that really is truly stopped. That's a good little test.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take for granted that they just magically stopped.
Yeah, you can also call your local police station and they'll do a drive-bys. It's vacation watches. They do that happily because it helps protect the whole neighborhood.
Investing in a safe if you don't currently have a home safe. There's a lot of things to look for. Not all safes are made equal, and a lot of different methods have come out for people that are cutting corners on trying to keep costs down, where maybe the bottom of it isn't solid metal and it's just wood. The lock mechanisms aren't great. The steel quality isn't a thick gauge. It's cheap enough that somebody with a probe or the crowbar or pry bar can peel a corner, either top or bottom, open just enough to get their hand inside and grab anything small enough to get out as they can. So safes are not created equally. Make sure you find a good one, a high quality one, solid steel. You want to look for a good fire rating of at least 1 hour, and make sure it's secured to the floor of your home. You don't want to install a safe and put all your valuables in there to leave it where three guys with a wheel cart could just tilt it up and cart it out. Thanks for putting it all together for us, neighbor.
Yeah. It's all in one place. Don't give anybody ideas.
Make sure. Yeah. Well, you have to make sure it's anchored to the home mm-hmm. at some point. And so what if you're not going to be able to move with it? Just add that in the sale price of your home so you can invest in another safe at your next next residence you're moving on to.
There you go.
Be mindful of what you leave outside. That's a great one, especially if you've got if you like to cook outside and you've got a backyard that can be visible from different areas of where people are driving by. You know, make sure you put all that up. If you've got a spatula and a tray left out there and it's been there 5, 6, 7, 8 days, somebody's probably going to think, you know, or start assuming you're not just a super lazy homeowner, but you're not there to pick up after yourself. So there's a 20 points you can get to, again, at rosieonthehouse.com. Coming up in the next couple segments, we've actually worked hard to recruit some local experts here from Prescott. We've got Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane is going to be talking about what to do if you've been away for a long time and you're coming back into your home, what to do if you smell gas, and how to do a gas check. We've got Ty Scott of Builders Wholesale. They do a lot of retail wholesale building products here in the Prescott area. He's going to join us talking through some of our points. And then Ken Lane of Waters Garden Center. We've talked him into coming down from the garden center to talk about making sure your landscape doesn't look like it's been abandoned. All here at Rosie on the House. You can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. It's your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years, and we do it every Saturday for you, the Arizona homeowner. And if you are getting invaded by something that's tearing up your yard, whether it's rabbits, skunks, deer, squirrels, chipmunks, we've heard that some people have even had success as it relates to javelina. You can use Bonide's Repels All because it repels them all. All natural ingredients use smell and taste to irritate critters. You can put it on around trees, shrubs, if you've got fences or other items like furniture that these animals are chewing up. You can apply it there and it lasts for over a month. It's so effective. Bonide guarantees your customer satisfaction. Bonide products are family made in America, and it comes in a concentrate or a ready to use spray liquid formula and granulars for large areas and 3 pound shakers and 6 pound spread application bags. You can get Bonide's Repels all over the state, including Summer Winds in Glendale, Savanos in Tucson, and Waters Garden here in Prescott. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. And we're making our way through the 20 points homeowners need to know about leaving their home for an extended amount of time. But another aspect of that, if you're leaving your home for the summer, there's a good chance you're going to a second home, a mountain home. And in a lot of those mountain homes, especially in Arizona, you've got a good chance that you're running a not 100% electric home. You've got natural gas piped in or a propane tank set on site that you use to operate water heaters, furnaces, fireplaces. There's even refrigerators that run off of gas, so you don't have to worry about any time that the electric grid is down that you don't have your meats and all of your food go bad. And joining us is David Barrett of Barrett Propane. Thank you for coming down to the fairgrounds this morning.
Thank you for coming up to Prescott.
Always a pleasure. And anytime we're on the road, we like to bring in locals from that area just to help bring all Arizona together. Your family has been in the propane business in Prescott
for a long time.
Do you want to admit how long?
Well, yeah, I haven't been around that. Well, I have been around that long, but I wasn't involved in the company. My grandfather started the propane business here in Prescott in 1960. And, you know, over the years, we've sold companies, started new companies, but we've been continuously in the propane business here since 1960.
So in that case, you probably have a lot of homeowners that we're talking to that are going to be leaving the hotter climates from Tucson, from Casa Grande, from Phoenix, coming up to their mountain home for the summer.
True. There are a lot of people that get out of the heat and come up here to this beautiful mountain air.
their house has been shut down all winter long. Uh-huh. What do they need to look for before they turn on their stove and cook their first meal or light a fire outside?
Well, you know, the first thing I would do if I was coming up from the valley or anywhere to a mountain home that had propane is rather than walking into the house with a lit cigarette or a torch to find your way around, walk in and sniff. Propane has an odor. It's very distinctive, like natural gas. And if you smell something funny, don't light anything because that system's been sitting for a long time and, you know, things can develop leaks over time. So first, give it the sniff test. Make sure you don't smell propane. If you don't know what propane smells like, get with your propane provider and have him do something that will enable you to figure that out.
Now, there's that rotten egg smell. Is that what they put in a natural gas?
Yeah, it's
propane
kind of
separate from that.
It's kind of a rotten egg smell. It's ethyl mercaptan is a chemical. And, you know, we even have scratch and sniff brochures now that we give customers that give a pretty good indication of what that smell is like.
Now, in the case they smell that, first thing they do, check into a hotel and call an expert the next day?
Don't light anything and call your propane provider immediately.
Now, if they're getting there late in the evening, I mean, is there any risk to just, all right, we're not going to do anything, open the windows, we're going to sleep on the floor, it's cool mountain air, or can that create a deadly effect like a carbon monoxide?
If they smell something, don't sleep there. I mean, figure it out, call your provider and have them come check for a leak. If you left, when you left at the end of the winter, or whenever you're left, and some people will turn their propane off before they leave. So when you come back up, your system has to be reinitialized, and your propane provider will insist that anytime there's an interruption in service, which means the gas has been turned off, they want to come up and do a complete leak check and pressure test. So if you turn your system off, call your propane provider, give them a heads up, say, hey, I'm going to come up for the season next Thursday. Can you come meet me and get the system going again?
So a best practice is to leave your lines full of that propane because then you can smell the leak. If it's shut off, anything that's going to leak is just out of that line, not that tank. So you want to be able to smell that? Is that the theory?
Well, there's going to be gas in the line either way. If you turn off the tank, there's still gas in your lines.
But if there's a leak, all that would have been gone by the time you got back.
Correct. But if you turned it off, you're going to have your propane provider come get it going for you, and he'll find that leak.
So let's say it was energized. You know, we left it on the whole winter. Mm-hmm. We come back, we don't smell anything. Get all of our pilot lights lit. Is it still worth the time to do the soap and water check around all your critical points?
I would say it's always best to do that if you've been away for a while. I mean, chances are everything's going to be fine. But, you know, best practice always says check everything out. Find out the easy way, not the hard way.
And as a propane supplier, is that something that y'all work with your customers ahead of time that, hey, if you give us a notice when you're coming back, we'll make sure everything's in correct operating procedure and you've got a full tank?
Yes. And just give us notice, or whoever your provider is, give us notice. Say we're coming back this week and we'd like to make sure we have a full tank. We'd like you to come out and get the system running again. If it was left on over the winter, because it is a good idea to leave it on, because things freeze up here. And unless you're going to drain all your water pipes and shut off your water, you want to at least leave your thermostat at 55 or so your pipes don't freeze.
Now, somebody that doesn't have propane, but maybe they're coming to the mountains in the Prescott area and they like to support local businesses, you've got your propane tank you're filling up for your barbecue or your grill. You could fill that up. Barrett Propane's tank is at the True Valley Hardware on Miller Valley Road?
We have propane dispensers all over the county. We have it at True Value on Miller Valley Road. We have it at Affinity RV on Willow Creek Road, Affinity RV in Prescott Valley, Roberts Market in Prescott Valley. In Chino Valley, we have Chino Rentals and Ace, and we also have Ace General Hardware in Paulden. So there are a lot of places where you can get Barrett Propane through a secondhand distributor.
And a lot of people there that can help. If you smell that gas, don't do anything. Check in a hotel. The $100 you're going to spend that night's
might save your life.
It's a lot cheaper than your life.
Yeah, anytime you smell gas, even if you're not coming back, if you've been there for 2 or 3 weeks and you smell gas, call your provider. Don't mess with it.
David Barrett of Barrett Propane, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And welcome back on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We've got quite a lot of information we've covered in today's programming. And thanks to modern technology, we're doing it live today from the Prescott Rodeo Grounds. It was this family broadcast we've had Saturday mornings has been what has kept me out of it for years and years. But thanks to technology, and I can actually have the opportunity to be here and watch my kids participate. And today's topic we're covering today on things to do to make sure your home is secure while you're on vacation. And I've grabbed a local business owner who's actually has kids in the rodeo as well, Ty Scott of Builder Wholesale.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And I'm not interrupting you from Chase's goats or Sage's barrel run.
There's a short bit of time in between, but glad to do it. No doubt about it. things run pretty hectic this weekend.
Oh, it's a lot to do. It's harder work on the parents, I think, up to a certain point.
It's a lot of running. The kids don't realize that what goes behind the scenes, I don't think, but it is a lot of running. But it's all well worth it in the end. There's no doubt. It's a good time.
Now, on a smaller scale, you know, these rodeos, they're a couple days long. Is there anything you do to get your home ready just on a short weekend when you're gone?
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep up with the yard, and just that way when we get home, we don't have as much to do. You know, make sure everything's good, and, you know, try to clean up the best we can. And, you know, you end up packing for the rodeo a day or two ahead of time just to try to help that out, actually, in the end.
Now, guys like us that have horses and livestock, a month vacation is not a reality, much less a whole summer. But a lot of your customers that come into Builder Wholesale, they're people that have been gone all summer, and they're coming up here to their mountain home.
Yep.
Or they even as beautiful as Prescott is in the summer, believe it or not, there's people that go back to Wisconsin to visit family or, you know, whatever the situation is. So they may be leaving this beautiful town at this time of year for the month. What are some of the things that y'all see customers coming into the store for? And I'll save you time because I know y'all do gas flame.
Yeah.
But you saw Dave Barrett leave.
Yep.
He covered propane for you.
Yep. And that's great. And he does it, but on propane and natural gas, either one. You know, we sell fireplaces and stoves, and those are the big things that we end up talking to people about. And they shut their pilot lights off, just, I'm sure, like Dave said, too, and relighting them. And we have a lot of customers that aren't comfortable lighting them, and they come to us to have us go out there and help them out with that service, and lock in your windows and doors. You know, put a lot of windows aren't self-locking, especially older windows, and you have to physically lock them, and that's a great thing to double check, go through the house, and make sure all that's done. Also,
the windows, the locking technology hasn't really changed all that much over the years. But what is this self-locking?
A lot of them have what they call an auto lock now, where as soon as when you close your window, it automatically flips a latch into a spot and it keeps it locked. And that's a great feature that came around quite a few years back, actually. But a lot of older ones had the old flip latch cam lock, they called it. And, you know, you could close your window, but if you didn't physically flip that latch, it wasn't locked. Somebody could get in. So that's where the auto lock came from, and it was a good thing that they did.
So you just used a fancy auto lock instead of flip latch.
Yeah, of course. Got to have an
real
auto lock.
Real Bond's terminology here.
Yeah, oh yeah, real 28th century stuff.
Now, you had mentioned windows, but every report year after year, the number one point of entry is kicked right through the front door in the middle of the day when you're not home.
Yep.
It's not these fancy high-tech operations. It's smash-and-grab guys that have cased out that you're probably not home, whether they've noticed your newspapers piling up, they're casing the neighborhood acting like they live there, and they go on a walk around 5:30 every day to see who's coming home and who's not coming home and take notice of which homes aren't moving. And they just show up in the middle of the day when most people are at work, smash-and-grab, go right through the front door.
Yep.
Y'all have a line of front doors. What are the security points you look for when you're selecting those door lines?
On front doors, typically they double bore them. There's just a deadbolt and a latch down below. They're not, in general, for majority of what we do, they're not the most, you know, if somebody wants to kick that sucker hard enough, they'll get it. And it might take them a few times, but they'll get through. And there are other options that are available now that are multi-point locking systems that shoot bolts through the top and the bottom of the door, that they're hitting in multiple points rather than just one spot on the jamb. And we're seeing more popularity, more people asking for those because they are more secure and it's harder to get through them. But my own personal opinion is people want in, they're going to get in whether they go through a window or a door or something. most houses aren't completely burglar proof.
Well, it's a twofold thing, because there's also the safety issue of you've got to be able to get out of the house in a fire.
Yep.
You can't have this fortress you can't escape from.
And a lot of people are going to, we're starting to see more electronics in that. They have, you know, people walk up and they ring the doorbell, or and they have a video surveillance device, and they can, then they walk over to the computer and push a button that is either tied into their home security system and it's a magnet or throws a bolt on the door or something like that. A lot of metal doors, people are doing these big, neat steel doors with steel jams, and you're not breaking them. You know, the burglars are going to have a hard time, but they have a magnetic, and it'll just release a latch, and people can come in. And we're starting to see just a little bit more of that. They're kind of expensive systems, though, compared to the traditional jams, wood jams.
In the mountain country, what's y'all's best practice? Water on, water off. In the valley, Tucson, where we have freezes hardly ever, what's the best practice for a mountain homeowner? Water on, water off while you're gone.
Water off, there's no doubt. I mean, pressure in the lines can, and if you leave it on, it's, and if we get cold enough here, especially at our elevation in Prescott, we're going to freeze at night, and we can get down in the low, you know, single digits, and it's going to freeze, and it's going to cause you a problem if you don't turn it off and drain, and, you know, open up, crack those lines and give them some place to go. But you definitely want to turn the water off here. It's not a question.
Now, how do you bleed the lines? Because even if you shut the water off, you still have all the water in the line that could freeze.
And every house is a little different, and I'm not the best at, honestly, at that, because I honestly don't go very far in the winter. I'm stuck here, which is great. But
that's the one thing about rodeo. If you've got livestock on your property, chances are you've got more than one horse you're taking to the rodeo that's getting left behind. You can't be gone for very long. As good as some neighbors are, no one takes care of your animals like you do, and these are serious.
Well, and they only
life
want to do it for so long.
Right.
You know, a few days you can get away with, you start talking months, it starts getting pretty tough. It's hard to find. You have good friends, but.
Leaving the house for extended periods of time isn't exactly a luxury.
No,
we've got.
It is not.
Looking at other security systems, do y'all do a lot of iron gates or iron doors on the front?
We don't ourselves. We don't do like storm doors and security doors. There are other companies in town that do and that I recommend. We get some people, you know, and I wouldn't say everybody asks for it, but because they want their nice door to show, their nice entry door to show instead of a storm door or a security door, which they are making some really nice security doors now that look really fancy and neat, but we don't do it ourselves, so it's... It's a smaller percentage of the houses, I think, that have them. They're doing them on a back patio or something where they can still get the airflow through and doing nice screen doors.
And one more layer of protection. And like you said, there are companies that do it at such an artwork style that you're not covering that
or they make
$15,000 front door.
Right. Or they make a beautiful design. I mean, they can put some amazing metal work in those doors that is just total designer custom stuff that is unreal.
And just to be able to enjoy a mountain air like this and knowing your front is still secure.
Yep.
You'll hear when somebody fires up the blowtorch to cut through the iron work.
Or they got a grinder, you're going to know it. Things are
you'll hear it.
The neighbors, with any luck, will be able to pick up on that.
Now, do y'all do floor safes at all? Are y'all fans of home safes? Or
We don't ourselves. I mean, I hear of quite a few houses that do have them in them. People are putting them in. It's a lot more common than it used to from that, and always a good idea. And in a mountain town like this, there are a lot of hunters that have gun safes, so there's a lot of gun safes around.
Now, you have kids, so you understand this point. Don't make a big advertisement that you're not home. Posting pictures of, here's me on Peanut in the arena in Marana where I'm 4 hours away.
Social media is really, and the high-tech burglars have picked up on that, and they know it. And that's a lot of what you hear is people, well, you know, we're headed for Hawaii for a month, and it's all over social media, and, you know, it doesn't take much for a burglar to pick up on that.
And people think, well, you know, I know everyone who's on my kids' list that they're just people at school. Well, anybody can look at a roster at school, get a name, and create a fake account that I'm, you know, Steve Smith, and I'm 12 years old, and everyone that knows Steve at that school, you know, it's not that hard to be a complete fraud.
People can be found. I mean, you can go on to as most everybody knows, you can go onto Google and type in your own name or somebody else's name, and you can find an awful lot out about somebody in a short period of time.
Yeah.
If you dig hard enough, you can find their house, and you can find out more information than you wanted people to know about you.
Don't make it easier for them. Just take your pictures and leave it at that. When you get home and you're at your house and it's secure, then you can share it with all your friends. Here's fun family vacation.
We had a great time. Now we can talk. Telling them that ahead of time is just asking for trouble.
Now, how long have you been a part of Builders Wholesale here in Prescott?
We've been there about 12 years now, 13 years, been a part of that with Charlie Fulmer, our business partner, and it's been an unreal, couldn't ask for anything better. Honestly.
Now, y'all used to be right behind Jersey Lily on Whiskey Row. You were probably busy, but our 7 o'clock hour, we had Brent Smith on. Old bartender for the last 17 years at Jersey Lily. You've probably never been in there before.
No, we wouldn't frequent places like that, no, sir.
So you probably don't know what I'm talking about.
Never heard of Whiskey Row.
Y'all moved out to an old tire shop behind High Mountain. Is it High Mountain Guns or Mile High Gun Store? You're just beyond that exit.
Country Guns and Knives and just past Copper Basin Road, and it was the Ponderosa Tire Building that was there for – even when I moved here, it was there for years. I still have customers that come in and
where's the tire
shop? Tires here, and I did too. Honestly, that's who I use. So, but it was quite a project, but I'd like to think we did a good job on the showroom, and we're definitely happy with it and happy with the move, and can't complain a bit about that.
Now, Builders Wholesale, do y'all just wholesale to builders, or can the public walk in if somebody's doing a site built home, or even somebody's just trying to upgrade their fireplace in their home? Do y'all take walk-ins?
We do everything. It's not just a wholesale place. We sell windows and doors to contractors. We sell it to owner builders. We do wood stoves and retail applications for wood stoves and pellet stoves and gas stoves and inserts and fireplaces. We'll deal with the public all day long. And happy to do it.
Wonderful. Well, hey, thanks for letting me steal you away for the rodeo for a few minutes, wrapping up our topic this week, things to do to make sure your home is secure before leaving. We've got Ken Lane from Waters Garden. We were able to talk him to drive down here away from the garden nursery center.
Saw him running by here just a second ago.
It's hard to,
Ken.
Yeah. Well, and he's a business owner. His nursery's open right now. He's like all of us. We've got a life and a work. We've got a make it all happen. But he'll be in joining us next hour. It's your landscape and your yard can be one of the first indicators that nobody's home. So we'll have Ken in to talk about that. Wrapping up our last segment with this Saturday's broadcast, we pulled Ken Lane, the mountain gardener, down from Waters Garden Center. He drove down Iron Springs and turned off Miller Valley Road and pulled into the Prescott Fairgrounds and found us here at the Junior Rodeo. We've talked about a lot of things to do when you're leaving your home for the summer, but what we haven't talked about is your yard. If somebody's casing the joint and it's the first time they've come through, your yard, the condition of it is going to be the first indication that home is vacant.
It sure is. Boy, it's so easy to spot. You could drive down the neighborhood at 30, 40 miles an hour and be able to spot who's home, who's not home. So it's pretty easy. And there's some easy steps you can do just before you leave to clean that up so it looks like you're home.
And we'll stay for an extended period of time. It's the summer. People might be gone a month, might be gone 2 months, might be gone the whole summer. What can we do to make our yard look so it doesn't scream, I'm gone?
Yeah. Well, start with those folks that have lawns. You start with the lawns. So you want to edge, clean up. I would say resist the urge to fertilize the lawn before you leave it. 2-3 weeks beforehand, let it slow down and go dormant. And then edge it. When the edges are growing over and it looks like, obviously, it hasn't been mowed in a week or two, that's a easy indication of what's up. I would also say check your watering. You want to make sure you adjust that clock so you don't have big dry spots. It looks like, oh, they turned the irrigation off and, oh, it's obvious no one's home. So kind of watch those kinds of things. Then you kind of move on to pruning those hedges. Hedges, they'll grow 1 foot, 2 feet while you're gone. You can tell they're overgrown like crazy. Cut those things back a few days prior or tell your gardener, make sure to tip those while I'm gone. So it looks like someone's been out there maintaining that yard, keeping it groomed, like someone is home. So I'd say watch those red-tipped botinias, the privets, the pyracanthas, those kinds of things. Keep them clean and tidy. If they've been hedged, keep them hedged.
And back to the watering thing real quick, when we talked about cutting back, we want to do that with care because obviously you don't want things to die while you're gone either.
We're going into summer. And so when I travel, Lisa and I travel quite a bit. So we're here during the spring, but then we purposely, this year I'm going to Ireland. So it's our 30-year anniversary. We're going to be gone for 2 weeks, first couple weeks in Ireland. And we always hire a house sitter. And so a house sitter, they kill things. It's just, that's part of the process. So we just, it's part of the expense of hiring a, so we always adjust the watering so we have everything automatic. So the container gardens, we have over 50 container gardens. We make sure each one of those has a drip emitter and we adjust it. And if I'm going to err, I'll err on water a little too much because the land, the home sitter, the house sitters, they're not going to spot that. They're taking care of the dogs and the house plants and making sure no one breaks into the house. They aren't watching the landscape piece. So I clean up, mow, edge, and then I adjust the clock to go a little bit more. If I'm going to err, I know it might go into summer. It might be a little hot. I'd rather err on overwatering than underwatering, especially the lawns, those kinds of things, container gardens.
When you are gone during that time, and you said you have a house sitter, do you check in regularly with that person? Do you make them send you updates? Is part of the house sitting they've got to mow on the third week?
I want to go on vacation for 2-3 weeks and not think about the business, not think about the house, not worry about. So I think that's part of screening your house sitters, your home cleaners, those folks that take care of your property while you're away. We've got some good ones. And so I choose to check out and not want to be a slave to calling back in. We've got cameras. We could look at live stream, but then I got to get Wi-Fi, wire them in the hotel.
And while you got that, you're going to check email.
No, I don't want to do that. No. I would say one little trick, the hanging baskets, those smaller containers, we tend to take those down. We don't hang them while we're away. We'll put them on the back deck against the house where it's a little shaded. We'll take them off the front of the house, put them underneath that covered patio, and then put drip irrigation on those just so they're less exposed than a big container. Than just hanging out there in the wind. Your big container is not an issue. The small hanging baskets, they seem to be more sensitive.
And in this case for the landscape, if you have a flagpole, those telescoping ones are great because a vacant flagpole probably says.
That's true.
And if you're in the summertime, 4th of July, you're going to have your American flag up. To have a flagpole and nothing there during those types of celebrations is a pretty big screamer.
For those that the vegetable gardens or flower gardens, like we're big flower gardeners, just before a couple days beforehand, it seems like overkill, but I go through and heavily deadhead the flowers so that I don't have old spent flowers sitting up there on the geraniums or the zinnias or the lantanas, or I purposely trim them back and deadhead a little heavier, and when I get back, they're in full bloom. They're glorious. The vegetables, I make sure I pick a little more than I usually do. I'll go the real small fruits. I'll pick all those things off so I don't have old spent fruits that the rats and the mice and the voles and things can go after. And then when I get back, I've got vegetables that have reset. Well, I've been away for a couple of weeks and it's ready to pick. So it's a benefit for me when I return, and it keeps things looking clean and groomed while I'm away.
Ken Lane of Waters Garden Center. For those of you listening in Prescott, Ken, you're coming up here next hour.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, next, just right up the street. I'm going to head back to the studio now. It's the Mountain Gardener every Saturday right after your show.
What are you talking about today?
It's weeds and grasshoppers. The miniature grasshopper, the baby grasshoppers have hatched this week. I think it's going to be a bad grasshopper year. So I'm going over how to maintain, how to take care of, how to keep a barrier around your vegetables, around your flowers, around your property to keep them out.
And on that weed barrier, pre-emergence is a great one to keep weeds from growing while you're gone.
That's a good one for a vacation. Yeah, absolutely. Twice a year application, you really don't have weeds. So that's one more thing you don't have to worry about. Two things I hate about gardening, watering and weeding. And so I've got full automatic irrigation, and I've got weed preventers.
It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. And Ken, thanks for it. Hope you get back to the Garden Center in time. You got top of the hour news break. I think you'll make it.
Yeah, I sure will. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
If you've enjoyed the program, we encourage you to pay it forward. Find someone that needs to be uplifted or blessed and do it. We'll see you next Saturday, 7 o'clock.